My guest at this time is former Virginia Republican Congressman Frank Wolf. He spent more than 30 years in the U.S. House of Representatives and became well established as one of the leading voices for human rights across the world. He is now a distinguished senior fellow at the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative. He has joined us a number of times talking about the plight of Christians and Yazidis being persecuted in areas controlled by ISIS. Just today, the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative speaking out about a new video related to those schoolgirls captured 2 years ago now by Boko Haram in Nigeria. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg. Thank you.
What the video shows, essentially, is one of the 276 girls kidnapped from that school speaking out and trying to put pressure on the Nigerian government to meet the demands of Boko Haram to release the remaining hostages. What do we know about the authenticity of this video? Is it recent? What does this tell us new about this story?
I think it is recent, and I think it's real. It's authentic. The girls were kidnapped 2 years ago, April, and there was such a hue and cry, if you recall, hashtag bring back our girls. Right. Mrs. Obama did a thing. Former Prime Minister Cameron did one in England. And then all of a sudden, people have all forgotten about them. The fact is, when we were in Nigeria back in February, we talked to people who were counseling the parents, and they said the parents were elated when they saw all this activity, then very discouraged when it sort of left. And they also said that they're telling the parents, your girls will have been assaulted. They will have been... Many will be pregnant or with the child, and many will be forced to convert to be Muslims. And so now they almost feel forgotten. And so I think this recent video that came out has sort of brought this thing back up.
Congressman, when it comes to Boko Haram, because of other events being covered, probably most primarily our own presidential election and other terrorist threats, ISIS-sponsored attacks all around the Western Hemisphere and so forth, Boko Haram has not been in the news. Does that mean they've been less active in that time?
No, Greg. Boko Haram is the most dangerous terrorist group in the world. Second most dangerous is ISIS. But yet, if you remember, Boko Haram pledged its allegiance to ISIS. The third most dangerous is the Al-Shabaab in Somalia, and the fourth most dangerous are the Fulanis, who are also in Nigeria. So the first most dangerous, Boko Haram, is in Nigeria. The second most dangerous, ISIS, Boko Haram has joined with them, and the fourth most dangerous, the Fulanis, are all in Nigeria. So no, they're killing people, they're doing terrible things. The week we were there, in the village of Agatu, they came in, killed about 200 people. They came in helicopters and motorized boats. So, no, they are the most dangerous, and they have pledged allegiance to ISIS. So I think all the attention has been focused on the Middle East, as it's appropriate to be, but the most dangerous and the impact that the fragmenting and the breaking apart in Nigeria will have almost an equal impact on the world. There were 25 million people in Syria, and you talk to people who have been to Germany recently, the impact of the Syrian refugees have had in Europe and France and Germany has been unbelievable. It's been very, very negative. Nigeria has 180 million people, and remember the Irish rock star Bono said a couple months ago, if Nigeria fragments and breaks apart, the impact on Europe will be an existential threat because you have 180 million people, plus you have all the people in Cameroon, you have the people in Chad, you have the people in Benin, you have the people in the so-called Lake Chad region. So it's probably well over 200 million people. So the impact on the West will actually be greater. But back to the people that are there, they're killing Christians, they're burning churches, they're even burning mosques, but these girls have been kidnapped. And it's almost like the world has just about forgotten about them.
It's absolutely horrific in so many different ways. You mentioned not only that they're still in captivity, but how damaged they'll be if they ever are freed. Congressman, you've talked about this 180 million Nigerians and neighbors in Cameroon and Chad and so forth, if in fact Nigeria breaks apart. I know since these abductions happened, there's been a change of government. How close are we potentially to some sort of fragmenting in Nigeria? What's the situation on the ground there?
Well, the situation on the ground is very bad. It's very dangerous. I think, in fairness to the Buhari government, he seems to have been trying to do a good job. There's tremendous corruption. I mean, the corruption is from the airport, in the business community, in government. Tremendous corruption. There are human rights violations by the army, by the police. So I think the new president is trying, but I think they're having a hard time. And if you follow the stories coming out of Nigeria, they're worse today than they were a couple months ago. So there's not a lot of progress really being made. There's still fear. The Christian community there believes that the church in the West, and I agree with them, has pretty much forgotten about them. That's one of the things that we have asked for over and over and over to the Obama administration, to appoint a special envoy, one person who will speak for our government, who can coordinate activities for the internally displaced people who are living in the worst conditions I have ever seen, for the anti-terror groups, to train the Nigerian military and police on human rights. And we have even recommended former Congressman Tony Hall, a Democrat, who was also an ambassador, served in Congress on the Foreign Relations Committee, to be this special envoy. But the Obama administration doesn't seem to be doing very much.
Have you gotten any response?
No, we have just gotten thank you notes for the letters, but no activity. And the real danger, Greg, the closing months of an administration, nothing happens. In fact, everyone is doing a resume and looking for jobs. If something isn't done by the administration sometime in September, it probably will not be done.
Congressman, obviously there's the possibility that things could be being done behind the scenes, but you mentioned the hashtag campaign when the girls were abducted over 2 years ago. Is there a coherent effort beyond that?
No. I think the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls seemed like a good idea, but I think it's actually been a bad idea because it's given more attention to the girls and in some respects made them more valuable as hostages. So I think they needed to move quickly. I think, you know, there was the failure of the administration, particularly of Secretary Clinton, to designate them as a terrorist group. The FBI wanted to call them a terrorist group. The CIA wanted to call them a terrorist group. AFRICOM, the American Army military, wanted to call them a terrorist group. But under Hillary Clinton, she didn't want to call them a terrorist group. And I think that lost time has set this issue back. And so if something isn't done, no, I don't think there's really very much being done, particularly with regard to the girls. But if you talk to people that are there, they feel abandoned. They basically feel forgotten.
You mentioned the recommendation for a special envoy. We should point out that that is one of the recommendations contained within a recently released report from the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative entitled Nigeria, Fractured and Forgotten, and that can obviously be found on your website at 21, that's the number 21, wilberforce.org. What else can be done? Is there anything Congress can do here? Is there anything the American people can do here other than pray and urge their leaders to take some action?
Well, I think they can pray, and strangely enough, at every meeting we end it, we ask what we could do to help. The first thing they asked for was prayer.
Sure.
Secondly, contact your Congress. Third, contact the administration. There can be aid with regard to the IDPs, the internally displaced people. There are roughly 5 million. The UN is failing. I mean, the UN has failed so miserably in Nigeria, they're almost a waste. So there could be aid with regard to the internally displaced people. Thirdly, you can give human rights training to the army and to the police everywhere we want. They talked about human rights violations by the police, by the army. Remember down in Colombia, the FARC, we helped train the Colombian military so they didn't violate human rights. There's a lot that can be done. And I think that the American people, that's part of the problem. Everything that takes place in Congress is downstream from the culture, downstream from the public. If the public isn't contacting the administration, not contacting their congressman, in fairness to the public, they're not getting much out of the media. Very few people, very few Western media are really operating in Nigeria.
It's a troubling story on so many levels, and troubling is probably not even a strong enough adjective. Congressman, we thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Former Virginia Republican Congressman Frank Wolf, long seen as one of the leading voices on human rights in the U.S. Congress, really for decades. He is now a distinguished senior fellow at the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative. Again, for more information on the Nigeria Report or the work that they do in general, it's the number 21, Wilberforce.org. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.